Yesterday we completed Surah Hud and we completed approximately half of Surah Yusuf. In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions various prophets and how they dealt with their nations, how their nations dealt with them, and how ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with those people who disobeyed their prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran, He brings the stories of various nations. And each of these nations, they had a special thing about them, about which they were very proud. For example, the people of Ad, to whom Hud alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, they were very proud of their power and their strength. It is said about them that they used to be very, very tall, very strong, and they had the ability to even rip out trees with their bare hands. This was how strong they were. And they used to say, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa." The people of Thamud, to whom Salih alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, they were very, very proud of the fact that they had the ability to build from mountains the palaces. So they used to carve palaces and buildings out of mountains. So they were experienced in building. The people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, they were very powerful businessmen. They were good traders. The people of Lut, their weakness was their sexual desires and following in their sexual desires. Fir'aun, his weakness was his power and his kingdom. Qarun, his weakness was his wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings these stories to all of us to make us understand that any person who is involved in this, in each of these activities or each of these things that have been mentioned, he needs to understand that above all of these things is a greater power to whom I must submit to, and all of these things that I am proud of, they are secondary to that great power. Amongst us probably there's businessmen, people who are experienced in building, and each one of us has his expertise and something good about him with which he may be very proud of. But he has to put that second to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, that has to be on top of everything. It supersedes everything. So I want to focus on the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Shu'aib alayhi salam was sent to Madian, and like I said, these people were very powerful businessmen. And Shu'aib alayhi salam told them that وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, don't cheat people in measuring and weighing. Make sure that what you're doing, you're very honest in your trade, and you are doing everything in a very good and honest way, which is above reproach and above criticism. So they had a few excuses. If we look at those excuses, we'll find that the majority of those excuses are the same excuses that we hear all the time, or the excuses that we might make when people try to advise us about something. Firstly, they said, Ya Shu'aib, أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءَ. O Shu'aib, this salat that you're talking about, salat, the original meaning of salat is actually dua, invocation, invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in our sharia, the word salat was turned and used for the salat as we know it today. The movements and etc. that we do to pray, that is the salat as we know it, but the original meaning of salat is actually dua. So they said that this dua of yours, it tells us, number one, to leave what our forefathers have been doing for centuries. Our forefathers have been doing it for a long time, so they must have been doing something right that they continue to do it for centuries. Okay, this is one excuse. We hear that all the time. Okay, brother, what you're doing is a bid'ah. It's an innovation. It's incorrect. Well, we've been doing it and we've been hearing about it for so long. Back home we do it. So back home becomes an excuse that yet because we've been doing it for so long back home, it must be correct. So this is an invalid excuse if it's not from the Quran and the Sunnah, if it's not according to the teachings of our pious predecessors, then that is something that should be avoided and it should not be regarded as part of deen. So they said that our forefathers have been doing this for centuries, number one. The second thing they said, that أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ, that this religion of yours, it is preventing us from doing things in our wealth what we want. Okay, so here the excuse is that we want to separate what we do in the masjid from our worldly life. Separation of church and state. Okay, our life outside the masjid, it has to be different to what we do in the masjid. Our worship and everything, it should be limited to the four walls of the masjid. Outside we can do whatever we want. So we don't want that type of religion that dictates to us how we should be leading our life. Okay. Further on they said, قَالُوا يَا شُعَيْبُ مَا نَفْقَهُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَقُولُ, we don't understand a lot of what you're saying. Okay, so this was another excuse that many of us, well, if we don't understand something, then it must be wrong. Not necessarily the case. Maybe you don't understand something, but it's correct. Okay. And another thing, وَإِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِينَا ضَعِيفًا, we see that you are weak amongst us. So we hear this all the time. How come the Muslims are always suppressed and oppressed? It doesn't mean that people who are oppressed and suppressed, they are, you know, they are not successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's practicing his religion, he's doing his best to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him to do, he's observing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, he's trying to stay away from the ma'asi, but yet physically he's weak, or within society he's weak, or on a global level he might be regarded as a weak person or a weak community, that doesn't mean that that person is not successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was an excuse that all people had whenever the prophets used to come. Initially, the weak people, the weak and the oppressed people used to follow them. The same excuse was used in front of Nuh alayhi salam, which is mentioned in another verse of the Quran. مَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأِي, oh Nuh alayhi salam, we only see that those people who are following you, who are the radhil, aradhil, which means the most degraded people from amongst us, are following you. And we see in the story of the Prophet ﷺ, when the Wafd, a group, went to visit Heraclius, what did Heraclius ask the people? Actually, not Heraclius, the Ethiopian king, Habash, from Habash, the what was his name? Najashi. Najashi, when they went to visit him, the question that he asked was that, do the weak people follow this prophet of yours, or do the strong people? So the answer was, the weakest of the weak are following our prophet. So he said, this is a sign of all prophets, that initially the weak people always follow the prophets. So the excuse was that because you are weak, we don't think you are on the right path. So again, another excuse which we see used in all times and at all places and in this day and age also. And then finally, they said that لَوْلَا رَحْتُكَ لَرَجَمْنَاكَ, because you're part of our family, that's why we're not doing anything, but if you weren't part of the family, then we would have really destroyed you. So family ties. Sometimes family ties become a means of prevention of a person from entering into Islam or from being a good Muslim. Well, my father doesn't let me pray, or my father doesn't let me come to the masjid, or my father is telling me to do this, or my father is telling me to do that. When we have an aql, when we have an understanding, then we have to understand that the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes above everything. That's why the response from Shu'aib alayhi salam was, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَخْتِي أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, is my family more dear to you than even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So these were the kinds of excuses that were given to Shu'aib alayhi salam. And if you look throughout the Quran, various excuses were presented in front of all prophets, which we still see and hear to this day and age. But ultimately, none of these excuses were acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ultimately what happened, these people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, when they continued to disobey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. they were punished. So the Quran is there for us to understand that excuses are not acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we know in our heart of hearts what is right and what is wrong, we should be following what is right. We should be accepting the truth that is given to us. We should be accepting the Quran and the Sunnah and the way that our pious ulama and pious predecessors followed. We should be following that way, and we should not be making these excuses, and we should try our best to be good Muslims and not present any kind of excuse to stay away or remain on the status quo that we've been on for so long. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.